Lord, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your presence. God, your son said, do you want me like I want you? We want you.
Yes.
So much, Lord. And we want you right now. Just come. Just show yourself, Lord. Just breathe life into this study. Let us just come into your presence right now. Lay down everything of the day and just seek you. Let our hearts be wide open to you. And our minds be open, Lord. We ask you that you just protect us and keep us in truth. Because you are truth, Lord, and deception is all around. So protect us from it. Just guide us into your truth so that we can serve you and be ready, Lord, for the things that are coming. We just ask you tonight to open up Revelation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, I printed the seven seals, quick overview when I read to you last week when we opened up the seals off the book, because I didn't give you a copy. So that's what you have in the first couple of pages, but we're going to go over them briefly. Let's read through these briefly. I'm not going to read all the way through them. I want you to have it to put it in your file. But we're going to kind of stick on the first couple of seals. But in an overview, there's some things I want you to notice on page one. We're going to look at least at seal one as we go further. So let's read seal one and seal two right now because they kind of connect on page one. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer him. In a little while, we're going to focus on that seal. But I want to read the second seal because it helps us in understanding the first one. So in chapter 6, 3 and 4. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Now as we go through the rest of the seals, we go down to the bottom of the page. I want you to use your markers for your pens tonight. It says verse 6, 12 through 17. We're going into the sixth seal when you see this, but I want you to mark something. And it says, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth. And the heaven, the next paragraph says, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, every island and mountain moved out of place. I want you to just circle that and put a number one out of the margin, because we're going to come back to that. That's a sign. That's something unbelievable. Yeah, we're looking for moon. The sun is black, the moon is dark, the stars fall, and the heavens depart like a scroll. We're going to be looking for that in placement. And we see that this is, if you want to go back on the first sentence in circle, sixth seal. It's one of the first things that happen on the sixth seal. So put a number one and a little star out there in the margin. And you might want to underline sun, black, moon, blood, stars, fell. So you get an idea what's going on. Okay, if you come down, keep reading on down there to the verse where it says, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, chief captains, and mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves. Circle that. And the dancing in the rocks of the world. Because the men hid themselves. It's a key to bring you back to that eventually. Because those are things that are going to help us see when they happen. Those things happen shortly. But I know we're looking at a brief outline here, but they happen at the sixth seal. Now on the second page when we flip, I accidentally reprinted it, so I'm the same thing. So all the way down until where it says 8:1, you can cross it off because you just finished reading that.
About a third of the way down.
Yeah, not even a third, one of the four. Yeah. All the way down to it says Revelation 8. The upper portion is a reprint from the last page we called out. And as soon as it says Revelation 8, look at 8:1. After after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of earth, holding the four winds. Just if you want to underline or circle the winds and the four angels, you go out in the margin and put a star for number two. Estelle, page 06. And we go on after that in the next parable, and I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, circle seal of the living God on the planet. And he told these four angels who held the wind, don't hurt the sea and the earth, don't hurt it until I have sealed the servants of God. Now at the end of this whole paragraph, it says the number of them were 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel. You can write that number there if you want, 144,000. Go back over to that margin at the front, right number three.
Star three.
Star three. 144,000 is happening there. Then we go through them being sealed. After we see them being sealed, we go down and see a great multitude no one could number in heaven. So we're kind of seeing here, let me go back to those numbers real quick with you. We're in the sixth seal. We're seeing the sun and moon dark and stars fell. Then we're seeing that the men at some point were hiding because they were afraid of what God was doing. Then we see that the four angels who hold the wind, hold the four winds came. And then we see the ceiling of 144,000. And then, after this, we see all the saints in heaven. So we're kind of seeing things that have to happen before the saints are seen in heaven. Okay? Now, even with this great multitude we're seeing in heaven, worshiping God, if we keep reading, we'll see that the angel asked John, who do you think these are? And he says, they're the ones that came over the great tribulation. So we've already seen there's been a great amount of tribulation, and the saints have come through some of those things. Now go to the next page. I wrote the page numbers at the bottom because I forgot to print them right down on page 3 on the next page. Next page is 3. No, I don't know.
This page.
That's three, yes. It's only a half page. Right, next page three. Now he opens the seventh seal, and we see that we're getting ready to blow the trumpets. Alright, now we're not going to go into the trumpets. Turn your next page, which is page 4. We're going to look at some confirmation of things we read, and then overview of the seals. Now, God has given us the seals on the outside of the book like an overview. So we saw them come through a lot of things. We saw a lot of tribulation. We saw a lot of things going on. Now we're going to look at the same overview in Mark 13. If you want to turn there, or you can just follow along here. But we should probably read it first right out of Mark 13, 1 through 37. So save my voice and let Harvey read that.
Mark 13, beginning with verse 1, maybe to the end. And as he went,
337.
Yeah, 337, I think it was the end.
Yeah. No.
Maybe
it
is.
Yes, it is.
Okay, it is.
Three of us said yes.
You win. I'm out for it. It is right.
Yep.
And as he, being Jesus, went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be, And what should be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils. And in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son. And children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein, to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again, for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, for in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. And then, if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For a false Christ and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now, learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye, in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass, till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch.
Wow. So I hope you heard it, but we're going to just briefly talk back through it, how we just saw the same on that we saw with that with the seals. So we can see an overview of them, and not, this is maybe even a few details that we don't see in the seals. The disciples are pointing out this great building, and he tells them one day it will be destroyed. So there's a clue there, even, that buildings will come down. Great buildings of stone will be just falling down. So there's some kind of devastation that's coming. And then he talks about wars and earthquakes and famines, famines with crops. He's talking about things that we have already seen happen, but we're talking about in the times. So we're talking again where there's famines, and we see that as we go through the seals, that there's famine. We see that when we get to the seal where there's, where they say there's imbalances because of the cost of food, that they're very careful of selling food because there's not enough food. And we see where things are destroyed on earth, you know, where fish die, where greenery things are burnt up. So we can see the families that are talked about here. He talks about them being beaten and persecuted and killed, and he gives the reason. He says, because the gospel must be preached. So we're here for a purpose, because the gospel must be preached. And then he talks about the betrayals. There's going to come a time that every Christian is going to have to stand and make a decision. Even now, small decisions are turning into great decisions. Right now, you're wanting to worship the Lord, and your mate doesn't want to. You have to make a stand. And you might have the greatest mate in the world who loves God with all your heart, but you might be seeing something different than they see. God might be separating you. I know with Harvey and I can't watch movies that he watches. Sometimes I have to separate from what he's watching, and he sees nothing wrong with it. And maybe there is nothing wrong with it for him. But for me, if God says, I don't want you to watch that movie, I can't hold on to my husband and say, hey, my husband's, you know, the apostle, you're the leader. He says this movie's okay. I'm just going to trust him on it. No, I have to hear God for myself and stand on what he wants me to do. But there's going to come a time during tribulation, you can't just do what the guy next to you does.
Right.
You have to hear God for yourself and be in the place he wants you to be and do what he wants you to do. Whether anybody else does it or not. You know, and Harvey is very, very spiritual. He loves the God with all of his heart. But when we first came into the Father's group, that big group of God, and it was different than Baptist, and God was moving in me, and I was watching it on TV, and I was getting all involved in it, and he didn't see it yet. You know, and he said to me, you are literally getting so heavenly minded, you know, where's the good anymore. I mean, you're just really going off the deep end here with stuff. You know, this stuff's not right. And I had to really consider, am I being deceived? Or does he just not see it yet? And it would have been very easy to say, I'm just going to stick where he's at, you know? But I had to say, no, this guy wants me to see this. And I just kept praying, and then, you know, God hit him with it and showed it and opened his eyes. And maybe he sees some things I don't see. And we have to pray for one another. But God might have something different for you than he has for your brother or sister. And you have to walk with him and know that it's him. And as we go on, you know, he talked about, we'll get to that in a minute, being careful that other people say, here is Christ. This is what Christ is doing. This is Jesus. Maybe, and you know, some churches right now are saying jewels fall from the sky on their service. Maybe they do and maybe they don't. But you could walk in there and see the jewels falling from the sky. And they're saying, see the proof that this is God? Jewels are falling. But in the last day, the devil is going to do some tremendous miracles saying that it's of God. You have to know God. To be saved, you have to know God. You can't just judge by the miracles.
That's what we mean by miracles in our spirit.
Right. And when they're saying, this is Christ, does it bear witness in your spirit, or is it just something?
That affects your flesh.
You have to be walking with God to know. So in verse 14 through 18, he talks about the abomination of desolation. He says, spoken of by Daniel, standing where it ought not, then those in Judea should flee. We need to put a little four on here. And circle abomination and desolation. And in order of what's happening, note that we are still here. Because he says, when you see this, that means you're going to be here to see it. But it's also in order of what's happening. Then, those in Judea should flee. Circle back to. When the abomination of desolation is standing where it ought not, when the daily sacrifice is taken away, and they set up something false in the temple of God, in the city of God, then the Jews ought to get out of that city. Run, hide, escape, because the great tribulation is about to follow. Now, I don't really know, even in the seals, are we being told some things before tribulation even begins? Or are we beginning to see the early signs of tribulation when it's so great a deception we don't even know that it's begun yet? But after that, verse 19, it says that will be followed by the greatest affliction this world has ever seen. We know for sure tribulation is starting then. And that the Lord will shorten those days. So we know we're not going to be here for the entire time of tribulation. God's going to shorten the days. Okay, and then we have that warning about don't believe or believe that everything is Christ, Jesus, and our house. Go down to verse 24 and 25. And I capitalize after that tribulation. After that tribulation. Not the entire tribulation, but the tribulation he just spoke about. That portion of time. That portion. Then the sun is darkened, the moon is darkened, and the stars will fall. So, circle after that tribulation. And then you can underline about the sun and moon and stars falling. And that happened in Seal 6. We have something to compare the timing that is happening near the end of Seal 6. So we know that we will not see, because then verse 26 says, then shall the Son of Man be seen coming in the clouds. We know that we at least have to be here until after that portion of tribulation.
You kind of circle and put a one by the sun dark and the moon dark. But let's see, that happens after the abomination of desolation, because before that.
You put a four because that's where it's at. We'll go back and look for it on another page.
Okay,
so the one is actually after the tribulation, when the sun is darkened and you see the number one. If you go back on your pages to the seals, to where you put a number one, and you put a number one here, now you can compare those two things.
No, we put number one back
in the seals.
In the seal, right.
Remember the first number one you put out there in the margin?
That was
on
chapter 6,
verse 4. It was on page 1. Yes. That in Revelation chapter 6, 12 through 17, is where we see that happening, and that is during the sixth seal.
Right.
There's another one.
So it looks like the abomination desolation happens prior to that? On this page in Mark? But you have to put it on the seven. You have to put four instead of one to go compare.
Well, they didn't mention abomination of desolation. Did we mention that on the other page? No, because they didn't mention it over there.
Just sort of confusing. Mom, does the abomination of desolation happen before the sun goes dark? If so, it can't be number four.
He said, I marked it as four because we marked 1, 2, 3 that we saw happening, but they didn't mention the abomination. So we don't really know where to put it because they didn't mention it in the seals. The seals never mentioned the abomination. Did they?
No.
Well,
they didn't, but here's Mark.
Okay, so what I'm saying is maybe it happened before the 1, 2, 3 because they didn't even mention it. We didn't see where to place it.
Right, so.
See where it says that followed by great affliction, we did see that back in the seals, right?
Well, that's confusing because they're open the seal, and then there was the earthquake, and then the sun became black, when the stars fell to earth. So it does sound like we're going to be here for that.
Yes.
So that would have to happen before the abomination.
In our seals, we don't have full detail of the order of where the abomination fits. We don't have it listed. When he gives us only seals, he doesn't listen to the abomination. It's not the
right.
Right. So we didn't know where it fit. We don't know where it fit. Now we're over here, and we've got the wars and rumors of wars.
Yes.
We've got that we have to be here because the gospel has to be preached. And then we have the abomination.
Right.
So actually, even though I put a four because it's the fourth thing we're noting, but it happens before.
Thank you.
It happens before the 1, 2, 3. Because after that, now we're going to come to the 1, 2, 3. Only is it a four because it was not mentioned in the seals. They never mentioned it, so we didn't know where to put it.
So that's what I was trying to ask.
Right.
It's so confusing to me.
It actually happens before the number one, because now we're coming to the sun, moon, and stars when you got them. And it happened before that.
So the numbers aren't like...
They're not giving you numbers in order of what happened. They're giving you a comparison.
Gotcha.
So, but that is how we figured it out.
We could have done A, B, and C instead. Would have been better.
Well,
because otherwise we're thinking it's in order.
All right, let's take the four and put a different number on S. Let's put 1 8.
Okay.
Then it happens before 1.
Okay.
We're in four.
Let's change the four to a 1 8, because then we'll have the right order. Because now we have it in an order that was not given at all in the seals. So we'll make it a 1 8. Now we're being given a new detail. We're being given a new detail in Mark. So Mark tells us something the seals did. We're getting a detail. That abomination of desolation is a major, major thing to recognize. Because as we keep going, well, first of all, it's the sign that tells the Jews to flee. Second of all, as we keep going in other scripture, we're going to find out from the time that happens, there will be 3.5 years. So we know we're already in tribulation. Because from the time of the abomination, there's only 3.5 more years till it's over. And, well, 3.5 plus 45 days to the end of the whole tribulation.
Okay.
Over the time of that.
In Daniel.
I'm trying to keep it in as much order as I possibly can. It's not easy.
Yeah, we're trying to follow your order.
Right. Well, they inserted that. We didn't have that. Now we have that. So now we know that that happened. Then there's great affliction. God will keep the affliction short for Christians. And now we've got to be aware of anybody trying to deceive you. And then we have, after that portion of tribulation, we see the sun and moon and stars are dark. Now, if that's after that portion of tribulation, we're just now at the point of seeing the sun, moon, and stars darkened. And then we see the Son of Man coming. Okay, now, they have left out, in Mark, we have left out the ceiling of 144,000. So see, every time you see a list of what's happening, they may not have included something. We need to get it all put together. So we knew that the 144,000 got sealed.
Yeah. That's the four winds thing.
The four winds is actually possibly the rapture. It's possibly the rapture.
Well, that, okay.
Yes.
Here's what I'm thinking. Maybe you've already done it, but what I'm thinking is, if you took one page and you put everything in order, and then you put the verses
from
the various places,
that's where I got overwhelmed when I spent an entire Saturday trying to get everything in chronological order, where I knew for sure what happened in first, second, and third. What we're doing right now is we're taking our clues.
Okay.
So that I'm not doing that for you. I'm not figuring out the whole book for you. We right now are gathering clues together.
Right.
So we gathered our seals, and we noticed some things that are going to be repeated in Mark. Now when we find them again, we're putting a number, we go back to the seal and say, oh, this happened during the sixth seal. So if the stars in the moon turned black and the stars fell, and that was during Seal 6, we don't know exactly when the abomination of desolation happened because the seals did not tell us. So we don't yet know where on the timeline of the entire 7 years to put it, because we haven't had a clue yet. But we know what happens before the so it has to happen before the
abomination of desolation. Is that in the book of Revelation?
Yes, it is, but it's not detailed in seals. When we get to trumpets, see, we will find these things again. We're making numbers now. When we go to trumpets, when we find it, then we're going to come back and see where it fit. So what I told you, the seals give you a very brief overview all the way to the end.
Wow.
The seals gave you a real quick, all the way to the end. You got a little glimpse without the details.
Right.
Now, Mark is giving us the three details that the seals didn't give us. And when he says the abomination happens before the stars fall, now we know that has to happen in that order before the stars fall. So we are just now beginning to see how much actually has to happen before we're taken out.
Right.
The abomination has to happen. And then later we're going to see, today, I'm going to show you where it tells you that there will be 1290 days after the abomination. And then listed as he that goes to the 1300 and some days, which is 45 days beyond that. Now, that's giving us an idea, probably, that we're already halfway through Revelation on the sixth seal. I mean, we're near the end. We're near the trumpets. We're already way in Revelation, as brief as the seals were. They didn't tell us a lot of the detail. We have a very brief overview. Now we're trying to fill that in. So we see the abomination happen before the stars fall, and we know we're here after that. And we know that we're here at least until verse 27, when the angels from the four winds
gather the elect.
Gather the elect. Now we're near the end of CO6 when that happens, which actually means we're probably near the end of the trumpets too. It would be creepy. Either that or the trumpets and vials would all have to happen quickly. Because we know we're at least 3.5 years into Revelation when we hit the abomination. So we're taking these clues and saying, we're going to be here. It's really what we need to get right now. We're going to be here. And we see that we're going to be here at least until after the abomination, at least until after the stars fall, the sun, the moon, the star. And then the Son of Man will be seen coming. And these angels of the four winds. Now I want you to go down to verse 24, 25. After that portion of tribulation, when the moon and sun are dark, and the stars fall, is your number one during seal six. You can put a number one out in your margin, because that leads to that part of the seals. Then, right after that, you come down to sending the angels to gather the elect from the four winds. That's our number two, the two in that margin. And you can underline the angels and the four winds. So you can see, these are things we're going to see repeatedly. It's going to help us to get a grip on this, because we're going to see some of these things happening as we read on in Revelation. And we can always go back to our number and say, where did that fit in seals? Where did that fit in the book of Mark? Where did we see that?
I have a question.
Yes.
Where
do
you want to put
the
two
at? Out in the margin,
right here,
before the verse.
Verse 27. Okay.
See, what I put them is right out here, so they're easy to go back and find. So whenever you read it again and you go, well, I heard that, you go back and say, oh, that's number two. And as we go through all the studies, you can put these numbers to compare. And then as we gather these comparisons, we can create a timetable that will be more accurate. So now we have 1A, 1 and 2, and let's turn the page. Matthew 24 is the same story that we just read in Mark. The difference is, it's being reported by a different disciple. Just like when you see an accident, I might say, you know, I saw the orange truck coming up to the red light and running. Somebody else might say, I only saw the crash. Well, this is being told now by Matthew, not Mark. So there's a couple of things that Matthew mentioned. It's the same day, same story, same time Jesus told what we read in Mark. But there's a few things more that Matthew included. In verse 11 through 12, he said, many false prophets shall arise and, cupidity, shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. I wanted to add that because isn't it a clue? What age are we living in? As iniquity increases, people's love gets colder and colder and colder. And that's another clue that we're closer to the end. And then in verse 27, he says, as the lightning comes out of the east and shines to the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Now we've read about Jesus coming, but Matthew includes this detail, that it will be like lightning, shining all the way from the east, all the way to the west. Have you ever seen a lightning that could cover the entire earth? One flash of lightning that can be seen all the way from the east to the west. That's what it's going to be like when Jesus appears. Lightning will light up a whole flash of sky. We see it in some of the movies we watch where people are just suddenly blinded by that flash. I like that, and I like that thought. And then 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun is dark. We've got that confirmation again. And you don't have to put the number, because it is the same story.
It's that's not number one.
Right, you can put it there if you want. It's just a confirmation again. And then we see that he sends the angels with the great sound of a trumpet. And we're talking about they gather the saints from the four winds. So we see here that that passage is referring to rapture, because this time he's specifying that Jesus is gathering the saints. And it's about the four winds, the angels of the four winds. So you can put the number of the angels gathering. Did you do that?
Yeah.
That's two. Number two. We're going to see this over and over. Now he adds something else that wasn't told in Mark. As in the days of Noah before the flood, they were eating and drinking. They were not aware. They had no idea. Until the flood came and took them all away, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. People are going to be going about their daily business and not going to be thinking. They're not going to have any idea who's coming. Two shall be together and one shall be taken. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour he comes in. Now he talks here about hypocrites, that they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The people who are hypocritical Christians will not be taken in the rapture. And they're going to be wailing, gnashing their teeth and saying, oh my gosh, I didn't go. Because they don't really have a relationship with God. They're just religious on their face. And hypocrites will be left here for the heathen. So religion is not going to get you into the rapture. Okay. Now, the next page says seven seals. And when I gave you the seven seals, I thought, okay, it's a brief overview. We'll move on to trumpets. Oh no. God says, no, I have to show you about seal one. I didn't even show you anything about seal one. It was so brief. So we're going to take seal one in Revelation 6, chapter, verse 1 and 2. And I saw a lamb holding one of the seals, and I heard, as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw him behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. First thing I want to bring out is that him and he in that verse is non-gender. They could have said she that sat on it, or the rider upon it. He is not the masculine gender, he. So when we say he, it doesn't have to be a man. It could be a woman. It could just be a spirit, but I do think they'll have a human body. Then the white horse. Why was it a white horse? I always wondered that. If this is really evil coming that's released with the seal, why is he men or she on a white horse? You know, white should be purity. Well, possibly because it's a spirit of deception, pretending to be purity. And when you think of ISIS, they think they're riding a white horse. They say, you all are infidels. You women dress lazy. and you watch terrible movies, and you are so immoral, and here we have our women hiding their faces and staying pure, and you know, we're not doing those things you're doing. So you're the infidels that weren't pure. So they have a false visual of purity. But if this writer is going to come in pretending to be God, pretending to be everything right, so yes, you'd be on a white horse of deception. But secretly, with evil intention. I had a vision, as I was studying this, I had a vision of a young girl, maybe teens or early 20s. She had soft, real soft, delicate, feminine, blonde hair, and big, gentle, gentle eyes. She seemed to be weeping in grief over things that had happened. But then she raised her hand, like to hide her crying, like, you know what I see crying? But the hand was a big, masculine arm hand. And I thought, whoa, that's weird, you know? And then got up and looked behind the hand. She wasn't crying at all. She was laughing. You know in a movie, when they have you crying, they actually tell you to laugh? Because laughter sounds so much like crying. Where she was actually laughing and rejoicing for the evil that was happening, but pretending to be grieving. It was deception. It was the spirit of deception. And it was a female, but, and I didn't have to give this a number, but remember that. Because in Daniel, we're going to hear that in the end days, their oppressors are children and their leaders are women. So, who is being conquered? The writer is given power and authority, like a ruler, to do a lot of taking over and conquering. And I thought about that and said, okay, so it's a spirit of deception coming in, and he doesn't have a sword like the second writer. This first writer has a bow. So what does the bow represent? This exact word represents the simplest fabric of a cloth bow. A cloth bow, not a bow and arrow. This writer has a bow. Like you take material and make a big, fluffy bow. Hair bow, bow tie, dress bow, I don't know. But it's made out of fabric. It is not like a weapon. And I looked at that and said, oh my gosh, is it a woman? Like wearing something of a bow, is that representing a female? Is it a gay man who's just feminine? So saying his bow is just soft like fabric? Well, then today I gave you some other ideas. I looked up bow in the Old Testament. And found there's different meanings. There's the powerful bow of war. But there's also in Psalm 64, 1 through 5, I didn't print these out, so you have to just be patient. And I find them. Psalm 1. 64. Verse 1 through 5. To the chief musician, the Psalm of David, hear my voice, O God, and in my prayer, preserve my life from the fear of the enemy, hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who wet their tongue like a sword, and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. The bending of a bow can mean a soft tongue that is bending words to deceive. And they shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil manner. They commune or lay snares privately. And they say, who shall see them? Now that fits the bow carried by the one on the white horse. A bent bow, a bent tongue, bending words, tricking and deceiving. We see it again in Hosea 7. This was a common expression in the Old Testament. Verse 16. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. Thus shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. Again, we see this weapon is a deceitful tongue. It's a deceitful tongue. One more, Jeremiah. and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. But they are not bound for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Take heed, every one of his neighbors, and trust in God and brother, for every brother will utter his complaint, and every neighbor will walk the standards, and they will deceive every one of his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. The way that set off, they bend their tongue like a bow for lies. And that is the bow of the white horse rider, a tongue that is bent on lies and deception. Now, if he's coming in with lies and deception and pretending to be pure and good, then the reason that I mentioned that we had to read through seal number two is because seal number two has the rider of the red horse that comes in to make war or vindicate and kill each other. And he takes away peace from the earth. That indicates until the second rider comes, there's been a false peace. So the first rider had brought in a false peace through flattery, through deceit, through words. And then the second rider brings the war. And he gives the peace. Now we're going to go to Daniel 11. And we're going to read again. And, you know, I get confused. When we start earlier in Daniel, and he says there's like seven heads and ten kings and all these horns. And I get confused, and he starts going through them. But he finally comes down to this guy in verse 20. Daniel 11, verse 20. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. But within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably, and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. We're reading end time stuff here, we're reading about this writer. And with the arms of the flood shall be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. For he shall come up and shall become strong with the small people. He shall enter peaceably, even upon the fattest places of the province. And he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. We're going to see new and different things that are going to begin to happen. And he shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. And both of these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Every time I read that speaking lies at one table, there's our politicians. They get together for peace talks, and they lie. There's the peace talks. 28. Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. 29. At the time appointed he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. I don't understand all of this, but you see the personality of this man, flatteries and deceit. For the ships of Shittim shall come against him. Therefore, he shall be grieved, and return, and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do, he shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. Now, I don't understand all the words I just read, but sitting at a table and talking peace with lies, and then there's disagreements, and there's anger and indignation, and then this flatterer comes back, and this thing has intelligence with them. What is intelligence with him? What do you think?
Sounds like you would say with spies.
Like a spy. What do you think, Jen? Same thing? I wonder about the computer. What about computers? All the intelligence, artificial intelligence, robots, computers, technology. Or having a council with him of powerful men who have gotten together and said, this is what's going to happen, and they have the power to make it happen. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly, but it's something we did not see in the wars of the Old Testament, was the powers of some kind of intelligent, something the fathers had never done, something new and different. A different way of warring is coming about. In 31, an arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of the strength, and shall take away the day of sacrifice, and they shall place the admonition that makes desolation. Remember 1A in your margin. 1A, there's the abomination of desolation right there. Now we've got a little bit more story, a little more detail. We've got this guy that comes in with flatterings, and we've got all kinds of time that he's taking and deceiving and gaining ground and losing ground and having to talk with other leaders politically. And then we have something that he uses that is new and different of intelligence, and he comes back with more power. And he comes back with that. Now, when he does come back with that, something is abominable gets set up in the temple of God. And now God's people are in big trouble. This is when they're going to flee out of the city. And this is when we see things really kick off and start getting bad. Okay, so that's very important. Verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. I love that part. We that know God, we're going to be strong in that time. We're going to be doing exploits of God's power in that time. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. We're here to instruct people. We're here to win people and lead them to safety. Yet they shall fall by sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Here's the persecution of the saints and all the ways the devil's going to come against us. Now when they shall fall, they shall be helped a little bit, a little help, but many shall cling to them with flatterers. We need to be so careful of that word, flatterers. Some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, and to purge, and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for an appointed time. My whole concept of the rapture is wide open. I used to say 3.5 years, right on the nose, up we go. Well, my concept of that is beginning to change. I know we won't be here for the virus if we're saved and we go to the rapture, but I don't know that there won't be Christians here during the virus. Because of people who do get saved later. How do they get saved later? I don't know. But when it comes down to the final thing, I'm still seeing God warning people to be very careful. So who's he warning? Somebody's here. So if you've been told if you miss the rapture, there's no hope for you, I don't believe that. I believe somehow some people are still going to turn to God. Because some people seem to be here longer. And maybe that's the ones that go beyond the 3.5 years.
Well, that's the 144,000, the Jews that are witnesses.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. We'll keep watching for that as we go. 36. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every God, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. And the calling of the king, but we don't know if the president is the appointed minister. In the next page, it says, neither shall he regard God and his fathers. I don't think he's even going to be into the worshiping of wealth, the worshiping of the way they're doing divine worship right now. I don't think he's even going to be into the false religions, because he wants everything to be about him, purely about him. The things he used, you know, we talk about Babylon, whose system of money and selfishness and fame, he's the one who has to be famous. He's not going to honor people seeking fame at that time, because he doesn't want anybody famous for him. He isn't given into the desire of women. He can't be affected by a woman. I mean, right now we're seeing men that don't even care about women. And he's not going to care about men or women. He's only going to care about him. He's totally about himself, making himself God. But it is the state shall be under God of forces. That word too, the God of forces, is the powerful things they can use of this world. That could be technology. That could be money. It says, you know, gold, silver, stones, pleasant things, anything of this earth that he can use to glorify himself. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God. Now, we're not talking about him when we say with a strange God. He's using a strange God. This is where I see that we have, as we go in Revelation, we see the dragon, the devil himself, and that the beast is actually a tool of the dragon. He gets you to worship the beast. Well, what if the beast is a computer? I mean, just speculation. What if it is the chip? It's put out by a computer. The computer can watch everybody in the whole world. I mean, we're already at the point where we're being spied on. Got a GPS in your car, and your phone, and your TV, and your computer. Everything technical has a GPS tracking system to find you. Many of them now have cameras to watch you. If you look at our street corner, see that little pole that goes up with a camera? Cameras to watch us and to track us. And all that's left is to get the chip in us. And we can find us anywhere we are, day, night, any moment, any time. You can be found. Now, how can they make you want them? By terrifying you. You want them to find ISIS, so ISIS can't find you. Well, how does that happen unless everybody has to have an ID mark? And we have nothing to hide, why wouldn't we take it? The only ones that would take it are the ones that are evil and harming. So if you're terrified of evil, you begin moving over to, what's the difference? Swipe my car, scan my car, or scan my hand, or scan my eye. In your hand, or in your head. Your eyes in your head. Those things don't exist. They're already here. They were ready to put in our body in 2010, and the public was so repelled by it, so afraid of it, they held off. But they already have them. They have them ready. They're putting them in dogs. They're putting them in children. They're already instigated. And since 2010, they have publicized repeatedly mass shootings of their children in school. I mean, terrifying things to where people are getting ready to say, yes, we want this. The good people should want this. It'll keep us safe. So Christians, we know better than that. But how easily it could be generated by a computer where all technology in the world is run through that system. Not one computer, but one system. And that could be called beast, artificial intelligence. They could wound that thing, it could go offline and be hurt, and then come back online, and they could build an image to it. What's a good image be? A robot? Many robots? I don't know that it has to be. I can't say that as strongly. Definitely is a computer, is a chip, that is it, but it sure makes sense. It's a strange job. That nobody else knew in the past, the Bible was never used, nobody else has used it as something that causes worship, that ends up bringing everything together like that. So it makes sense that it could be. And when he says this, he honors the God of forces, and that he holds with a strange God, who he will acknowledge and increase with glory, and cause them to rule over many and divide the land again. At the time of the end shall the king of the south push him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and horsemen and many ships, and he will enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He'll enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape. Would you read verse 41 out of the Bible? I thought it said they shall not escape. I might have forgot shall escape. They shall escape. Out of his hand, Edom, Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. I'm going to kind of homework finish reading Daniel 11, read all of chapter 12. I'm just going to mention some things in chapter 12. Michael, the archangel, stands up for God's children in chapter 12. And there is a time of trouble that never has been since the nation was. People will be delivered. There will be a rapture. The dead will be raised. knowledge will be increased. Two other angels were standing on the bank of the river and saying, how long to the end of these wonders? And the answer was, time times and a half. That's 3.5 years. You might want to write that out in the margin, 3.5 years. And as far as timeline goes, look at all the things that have already happened. And when accomplished, to scatter the power of the people, all will be finished. Now, when they accomplish to scatter the power of the people, everything is finished. It, those kind of things make you wonder about being here to the end. But somebody's here that they're still scattering. And from the day of the sacrifice being taken, 1A, there it is again. Because they're asking when these things are going to happen. From the time that the day of sacrifice is taken and the abomination is set up, 1290 days, that's 3.5 years. Blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1335 days. That's 45 days beyond. Now, right after that, he says to Daniel, go your way to the end of thee, for you shall rest and stand in your life at the end of days. I believe that at least during this 45 days, somebody is here. Because God is saying, blessed is somebody that's here 45 days and not. That's 3.5 years. You know, when you get to the vials, it actually says that the vials will happen so fast. They may only be the last 45 days. But who waits? God says you're blessed if you wait 45 days beyond. Who's waiting 45 days beyond? I mean, that's a mystery right there. I don't get that. And why are they waiting? Who told them to wait? Why are they waiting? What are they waiting for? I have no idea. Unless God has decided there must be some kind of witness here to the very last day. Does there need to be some witness here to the very last day so man can never say, I didn't have a chance? Does he have a chance right to the last day? You know, there's some that God will say, you could say, you want to stay for me?
But there's scripture in that, the idea of waiting too.
Yeah.
Because God says that he's not willing that any should perish.
Exactly.
So it makes sense.
Yeah, and as we go on and we see the very, very end, we're into the vials, and we hear him saying things to them, like, you know, be careful, and you're clothed, and what you're clothed in, unless you're naked, this is seen. Who are you saying that to?
Right.
So there's a mystery in there. I don't know what to tell you about it, but it's there. So let's be looking for that. I know it's a little confusing, but I just wanted you to notice we saw some things that we can take note of. We're going to be here for the abomination of desolation. And we know that it said from the time it's set up, that's how much time is left. It's like 3.5 years plus 45 days. That's what's left after that. And we're here at least until then. So we can see that we're here for so much of the tribulation. And that the saints in heaven, who are they? The ones who came through the great tribulation. So at least we know we're going to be here for a lot of this. And those who know the coming are going to do exploits. They're going to do exploits. So that's what we're going to hang on to. Yeah, the devil's coming out with a lot of power, but God has power. Now some of us will go through being in prison, or, you know, like they said, there will be things happen to purify us, to make us white, to finish our transformation, to become the ready bride of Christ. So it's always for us. God doesn't just let us go through hard things because it's punishing or it's mean, but it's for our final transformation. It's for the gospel being preached. It's for leading many to safety. It's for rescuing some from hell for all eternity. So next week we're going to, I think, you know what? I tell you what, I think we're calling the guy just tells me whatever he wants to the next day. So I'm never going to go back over seals. But this one is definitely overview and seal number one. There's your title, overview and seal number one. For this message, and I think we'll probably seal number two next week, but we'll see. We'll see what he does with it. But there's more to be read than just the book of Revelation. There are many other scriptural places. that fill in some of the details for us. Daniel 11 and 12, Joel, and there's something more. If you want to list them, you go online and say, all scriptures that talk about in days, and they'll pop up 10 or 15 of them that you can go check out. So God, we ask you to help us internalize all these things we've read. This is just going over the things you've told us in advance. This is just still over you. And Lord, we have no way to understand it all, to know what to do with it. But you wrote it because you wanted us to know it. So please quicken it to us. Please give us thoughts that bring it alive and make sense in practical ways that will help us live in these last days. We want that for your glory, not for our curiosity. Prepare us to let your glory shine. Thank you, Jesus.